Chell Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist, and she lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Chell.
Hi, Jay.
Well, now that winter is officially here, that is with snow on the ground, let's talk about all things snow.
Snow is one of those miracles of water, right? We are the water planet, and we have all these miracles related to water, and one of them, in my opinion anyway, is snow. I mean, you can toss it around, you can pack it into things, you can roll around in it, you can cover up with it. I mean, it's really, when you stop and think about it, as you're grinding your teeth over having to scrape off the snow off your car again, it's good to reflect on all the amazing things about snow.
You can throw it at your friends.
Yeah, right. You can, yeah, games. So many things are possible on snow and with snow. So I thought this is definitely a good topic to try to cover. So first, let's start with a couple of sort of basic facts, which I'm sure everyone knows, but bear repeating in this context, and that is that snow is a form of water, ice. Ice forms at 32 degrees, a magical temperature when it comes to water, and that clouds are water vapor. So when clouds, or the water vapor, encounter temperatures in the air that are at that magical number, 32 or lower, snowflakes can form. Something has to happen because water can't be a liquid 32 degrees or less. In the clouds, oftentimes the response of water vapor to temperatures below freezing is to form snowflakes. The formation of snowflakes is an amazingly dynamic process. If you think about clouds and maybe what you've read about clouds and the atmosphere, it's not generally a very stable place. Clouds have lots of air currents swirling around in and through and around them. They have updrafts, downdrafts. They have different temperatures. They aren't a uniform temperature. So the formation of snowflakes is dynamic and depends on all those environmental conditions. So a snowflake can begin to form somewhere in a cloud, but then it might encounter a wide range of conditions that are different for the next several hours. And those conditions might cause it to grow into yet a bigger crystal, or they might cause it to melt down completely and become a water droplet again, or to melt down partially and then regrow. So the story of any individual snowflake could be very long and arduous. We don't really know. But what we see is what manages to emerge, depending upon what might be mixed up with the water vapor, dust, dirt. Those things can be incorporated into snowflakes as well, and they have an influence on the shape, on the durability of a snowflake, on how quickly it melts once it's on the ground. All those environmental conditions I described, as well as, you know, these kind of foreign particles that might be within the water, can have an influence on the formation and the overall life of the snowflake. Where you're formed as a snowflake will have an influence on your shape. Generally speaking, if you're a snowflake that's formed high up in the clouds, you're going to have a six-sided hexagonal shape. If you form in the middle, you're more likely to be needle-shaped. If you're formed low down, you're more apt to have, you know, a more smoother, less intricate shape than snowflakes formed higher up in the clouds. Temperature will affect your shape, and temperature might well be associated with where you are in the vertical column of the cloud, but not necessarily, because temperatures can vary quite a bit through the clouds. So between 32 degrees and 35 degrees, you'd look like beautiful thin hexagonal plate. If you formed at 21 to 14 degrees, you could be a hollow column. Again, hexagonal in shape, because snowflakes are hexagonal, but you could be a hollow column instead of a plate. At another temperature, you'd form as a needle, solid needle, but hexagonal in cross-section. And if you form at those temperatures that are really cold, down to 2 degrees or, you know, the coldest temperatures, then that's where you're going to have the most intricate shapes. So those are going to be those snowflakes that we all go, wow, how could that be? All those arms with all those little smaller arms and branches, those dendritic crystals form at the coldest temperatures. So that's how we get this amazing array of different shapes that we can see over the course of the winter in all of our different snowfalls. And some snowfalls can consist of many different shapes. It isn't necessarily going to be uniform. But then we'll have other snowfalls where, boy, pretty much every snowflake is of the same general type. They don't always look exactly alike. In fact, that's one of those kind of myths about snowflakes, is that no snowflake is exactly the same shape. And chances are you wouldn't necessarily be able to find two that are exactly alike, because there's so many bazillion trillions of them. But there probably is a match somewhere out there. But from our standpoint, they all do have amazingly different shapes.
I have often wondered about that. That would be pushing infinity.
Yeah. Because the conditions, especially at this time of year, are so unstable. You know, temperatures are hovering, you know, just above and below freezing. You're going to have much more of a chance for there to be all this variability in whether it's snow versus rain or mist, or it's just this amazing.
Are snowflakes fairly durable, or do they get buffeted and busted up, or?
Yeah, great question. Snowflakes really, from the point at which they begin to form until they turn back into water, are constantly being changed. And so, you know, you see one of those incredibly intricate and delicate snowflakes, and, you know, if it's January and it's really cold and it comes down and it isn't getting blown around, you can watch it on your jacket for a while, and you can watch them on the surface of the snow for a while, staying just perfect. But before long, they're being changed. The sun comes out, boom, it's just, even in the cold January temperatures, the sun will start to have an impact, especially if there's a little trace of dust or dirt in there that can absorb a little bit more light than the ice reflects. So that's going to start to create a little bit more of a heat source there and start to change. And the wind blows and it wears those arms off, and all those physical properties that the snowflake arrives with on the ground are almost immediately begin to be changed by its environment.
Jill Anderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand what's going on around us with snow.
You're very welcome.